This episode is brought to you by our sponsors at Adult Time, the ultimate subscription platform for premium adult content. With over 55,000 episodes, 300 channels, and new releases every single day, it's everything you'd want in one place. And you can use promo code BREEMILLS, that's BREEMILLS, to try a free week on us. Assuming you are 18 plus, of course, and you can discover how we do porn differently. Hi, my name is Bree Mills, and I am a porn director with a purpose. Now, throughout my career, I have covered just about every niche, and I've created some award-winning films and brands along the way. But now, I'm much more interested in getting to know the real people behind my characters. And that's because I believe adult entertainers can be some of the most powerful role models when it comes to sex ed, consent, empowerment, and wellness. By asking the right questions, our community can really help people better understand themselves. So that's the mission of this podcast. Let's get up close. Well, thank you very much for being here, Cadence.
Yes, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
What viewers may not know is moments before this interview, we both agreed to kick off our shoes and just be comfy underneath the table. So it's a good thing that nobody can see that. Well, maybe it's a good thing for me, at least.
Some people definitely want to see it, but yeah, we're airing out the dogs.
We're airing out the dogs.
Somebody had to do it.
Somebody did. I'm so happy to see you again, my friend. It's been a long time. And it's beautiful to start this podcast off with you as our first guest because we go back a long way, but there's a lot of stuff I don't know about you. So I'm excited to learn about it. So thanks for being part of this.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm super stoked.
I'm going to start with a good icebreaker. It's my favorite icebreaker. Tell me a fun fact about yourself.
Fun fact about myself. Yeah, it's so funny because like initially when I think of that question, I'm just like, what haven't I already told? Social media. It's like there's no like secrecy anymore. But I feel like one fun fact about me that like general people might not know that's kind of like silly is that I'm kind of like heavily, it's kind of a problem, kind of heavily addicted to like antiquing and flea markets. Like my whole decor style is just all like old, oddly, like weirdly religious ones too, which is funny because people come over and then they're like, are you religious? Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know. I'm like, oh no, is it the Jesus statue? No, it's just like something cool I found at a flea market. Like, so I feel like that's something that like random people might not know about me, you know, that I just have a wallet troubling addiction to that kind of stuff.
Nice. To vintage religious, quasi-religious art.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like strictly that. I just feel like that one's funny because it throws people off.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm not religious really. So like people see it and they're like, and I'm like, no, I just actually thought it was cool and old and I wanted it. Like, it's fine.
My wife's been doing a whole maximalist design thing in our home. So our whole living room is slowly being transformed into an old lady's boutique, but in the most beautiful, trendy way. So
I can't wait to see it because that's literally like, that's exactly how it is for me. It's that definitely that maximalist decor where like everything on the wall is like, you know, perfectly orchestrated with each other.
Yep.
So I'm going to have to see before and after pics.
There you go. Excellent. So tell me about your journey into the industry. So how did you get involved with sex work?
Okay. So yeah, I originally started sex work, I guess. My first like footing into it was webcamming. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a pretty common first footing. I hear a lot of people say that. So yeah, like pretty early on, I think I was like 19 and started webcamming. And from there, I did that for maybe like 6-7 months. And then somebody approached me about shooting a scene. And it was something that I kind of like always was like, it'd be really cool to like be in a porn. Like, mm-hmm. I was always kind of like that weird, just like intrigued ask mm-hmm. about it, you know, because I'm like pretty open sexually. And I was always like, it'd be sick to like make a porno once, mm-hmm. you know, never did I think it'd be like 12 years or whatever.
Right.
Of like my main thing. But yeah, so webcamming, and then I got approached about scenes, and I kind of didn't really have to think about it. I was just like, fuck it. Let's try it and see how it goes. And flew to Miami, shot my first 4 or 5 scenes for a company, and then just like didn't stop. Mm-hmm. Found my agent through that, and stayed with my agent for a very long time. And, you know, yeah, it just kind of progressed into a literal career that I didn't expect, I guess. But I enjoyed it from like the first time being on set. I had a great experience, and I was just like, cool, I'll keep doing this until I'm over it, and I'm not seemingly not over it yet. So that's cool.
Nice. Well, I'm curious because I you're right that so many journeys start with webcamming. And I can remember when I first got into the industry, ironically, you know, I was hired in marketing to work for a webcam company, and I had never even heard about it before. How did you discover the world of webcams that eventually became your entry door?
Totally. I had went to high school with a girl who was a couple years older than me, and she had started doing webcamming. And of course, like small town, so people were, you know, like talking a lot about it and not positively, of course. But I heard about it and I was like, you guys sound like a bunch of haters. Mm-hmm. Like, this girl is literally just at home, like, masturbating and making money. Like, how do I sign up? So I pretty much, like, reached out to her and was like, hey, I think what you're doing is awesome, first off. Second off, like, can you show me the ropes?
Right. Oh, okay, so that you found indirectly a mentor for
it. Yeah, and I think I only cammed with her maybe, like, one time. But she kind of just, like, was like, here, this is the site I'm doing it on. And then I just kind of, like, did it on my own, experimented with it. And I think, like, going back to what you opened it with, like, I think a lot of performers maybe start that way because, like, you're able to be in control of it. You're at home. Like, you're in your own, or maybe not home, but you're somewhere where you're alone, comfortable. You have, like, a barrier between, you know, whoever you're interacting with, and you're able to kind of, like, get into that lifestyle in a less, like, intrusive, like, I feel like if I had gone to set before webcamming, I might have been like,
yeah,
this is maybe a little much for me.
Yeah, so because it's sort of anonymous, right? Because there are people chatting, you know, you know that you're doing it for the masses, but you can't see them. You're at home in your private space. And so you can kind of build a little bit of that confidence because it is, in a way, kind of like just playing around in front of a camera. Yeah.
And you're in control. Yeah. It's like a controlled environment. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I just, you know, I basically just had her help me. And I don't believe she's performed, but she performed and like was a webcam model for a long time, but I haven't. I'm like, I'll have to do my research if she's still around. But yeah, so that was how I did it. Just kind of like saw what she was doing and was like, hey, cool. Good for you. Don't let people talk shit about it, you know?
Interesting. So you sort of saw a little bit of a trailblazer like within your own community that was sort of going against the grain in terms of people's negative reactions. And you learned a lot from them. And then that helped open doors towards where you are now. Can you tell me in your first, especially that like first year or couple of years, what would be some of the biggest lessons that you learned about being in sex work and certainly how that influenced you as you were growing as a person?
Yeah, I think that really one of the biggest lessons I learned and one of the things I look back on and wish that I would have advocated for myself a little harder in certain situations, because we spoke about this a little bit beforehand. I mean, the industry's changed a lot in very positive ways. I don't think it was so much like that when I first started. And I think I did a lot of, being, you know, not wanting to be difficult or not wanting to seem like I was, you know, trying to whatever. Just even something so little as we're going to do a pile driver. It's like, man, like, do I have to, like, you know, and like just doing things that you're like, okay, well, like, I think I would have said that like advocating for myself would have been like one of the biggest lessons that I wish I learned earlier on, because I definitely have no problem doing that now. You still kind of hesitate always because you don't want to be like difficult, but it's like, you know, really at the end of the day, you have to do what is best for you and you have to think about yourself in those moments of like, okay, how's this gonna affect my day? How's this gonna affect any, you know, right. anything, any
right.
aspect?
Right.
So I think that would be a big, big one to point out.
Yeah. Do you remember you being on set, since, you know, obviously sex work is work and there's the performance element of it. Can you think of the first time when you were on set doing sex work where you had a really authentic, hard orgasm that made you sort of like stand out in your mind?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for me, I think that it was kind of like a funny way that it went about. So like when I got into the industry, I was so excited. Like I was like, ooh, a bunch of hot girls and hot guys that I get to bang. This is yeah. awesome. You know, like I was kind of like candy shop eyes, like, ooh, this is exciting. So yeah. for me, I think that I was enjoying it from the very beginning.
Yeah.
I was excited. Yeah. Whereas, you know, now it's like I've been doing it for so long, it does fall into a little bit more of a professional. I'm still excited. I'm still right. a sexual person, but I'm just a little more tailored back to just be whatever. But yeah, I remember like a specific scene that I had done with a male performer in Miami. And I remember having one of those moments, like this was probably maybe 3-4 months in. Mm-hmm. And I had fun from the beginning. But I remember having a moment where I was like, wow, that was, you know, I'm like, we're doing like still sex stills. And I just orgasmed.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. That's awesome. You know, it felt very connected. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, maybe a couple of the other scenes I had done earlier on weren't as like, you didn't have that chemistry. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm pretty fortunate in the fact that I tend to have pretty good chemistry with people. Like I can think of plenty of instances where I haven't, mm-hmm. but it's more times that I'm like, wow, like I had really good chemistry, you know, like rather than being like, it just wasn't there. Like mm-hmm. I feel like I've never really struggled with finding that, which is helpful mm-hmm. in the sense of being able to get pleasure from it too.
Did you know that about yourself before going into sex work, or was that also something that you really discovered?
No, I think I discovered that because I mean, I was kind of always promiscuous, I guess, like mm-hmm. Even before sex work, I was kind of always just very a free sexual person, being kind of like, I don't give a shit what anybody mm-hmm. thinks, I'm going to bang who I want. Mm-hmm. Like, and I feel that I didn't realize that like the chemistry thing, no, until you kind of like, cause you break the barrier. It's like you're having sex with somebody professionally, right?
Yeah.
And like, we're all going back to our separate lives. But like, you have this one moment where you're just like,
yeah.
Ooh,
or like it's you ooh, and them.
I yeah. feel, yeah, you feel that. And I definitely think that that was something that being in the industry helped me with mm-hmm. as far as like, I don't think I had that from the beginning. I mm-hmm. think it developed over time and like over my, I guess, like stages of becoming the performer that I am now. Mm-hmm. It's definitely like helped.
Yeah. yeah. What do you feel? And this is an interesting question I like to ask. What influences, looking back on your own life, do you feel that media or pop culture have played in shaping your perception of sexuality?
Yeah. Well, I'm a 90s baby. So my first immediate response when I think of like anything to do with pop culture and sexuality, it's always like almost like a Britney Spears mm-hmm. moment where, you know, you had this really beautiful, talented girl who, you know, wanted to portray herself in a fashion that she wanted to portray herself in. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, looking back, maybe she didn't want to and the media just wanted her to portray yeah. herself. But either way, the way that society viewed it, I mean, I'm sure you remember how negatively people were speaking about these mm-hmm. things and about how somebody's just dressed. Mm-hmm. So I think that, like, it kind of had a negative effect, like culture and media and all that kind of almost had a negative effect on sexuality because you're kind of being pushed in a sense of like, no, that's bad. Like, why would you dress like that? Why would you portray yourself as that? When really it's like, because why can't I?
Yeah. That's sort of purity pressure.
Yeah. Yeah. To be, it's like, why do I have to be that way? And mm-hmm. then I think there's so many layers. Like I said to that, it's like, we don't know that that's what she wanted to portray. It could have been a push thing just from managers, all the things that go into it. But it's like, it really goes to show you how society as a whole will mm-hmm. look at women and sexuality negatively, yeah. usually. And, yeah. you know, it's like, it's just funny when you start noticing that and you start like getting a little bit older and noticing that. And mm-hmm. you're like, oh, you know, like, why is that?
Yeah.
Why is that a factor? And I guess like... On top of the Britney Spears, my first, like, sexuality, like, moment I can remember in, like, a movie. And I'm sure this wasn't, like, the first, but one of the memorable ones I have is always, like, Titanic. You know, the sex scene, like, in the car.
The sweaty, the sweat, steamy the car.
Hand, and it just, like, drags down. And I'm like, is that how it is? Like, am I going to have, like, hot, steamy sex with, like, a, you know...
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Like, is this my fate? Like, yeah. So I feel like maybe a little delusion. There.
Like, well, it's interesting because it's like on the one hand, you were getting the purity pressure, right? And you mentioned even like with the other student in high school who was sort of outed for being a cam model and like a lot of negative pressure and how you noticed even at that time, well, I don't want to stand for that. But at the same point, all around you in the media, that same type of pressure was coming out. So you've sort of been rebelling against that really from the beginning. Yeah,
it's kind of contradictory too.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, don't be this way. But if you're not this way, then you're not hot.
Right. Of course. It's like the double standard.
It's like, okay, I'll just be in this in between and I'll be confused. Mm-hmm. So I think that it's, you know, it kind of shaped it in that manner too, in a way, like of just kind of like, how are we supposed to be acting? How yeah. are we, you know? And that's why I think I've kind of always led towards a like, who gives a shit? Mm-hmm. Like, do whatever you want and the rest will like fall into place because you just be who you want to be or dress how you want to dress, mm-hmm. act how you want to act. And the right things, the right people, the right thing, you know what I mean? Like, you can't surround yourself with things that are just, it's not going to happen that way. It will yeah. align in the way it's supposed to, you know?
So how have you felt that your sexuality has evolved over time? You mentioned that you've sort of seen throughout your career, there's been like definitely things you've learned and you've grown. How are you now in 2023 as a sexual being compared to those first days of coming into the industry? What has evolved?
I'm a lover now. Mm-hmm. Like, I am such a lover now. I think that I was so gung-ho on, because I still do very much enjoy BDSM and I enjoy rough sex here and there. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed it a lot at first. And it was almost like everything I did, I wanted it to be really, you know, mm-hmm. kind of. And the older I get, the more my career goes on, I'm just like, I just want to like sensual, like nice, like authentic mm-hmm. things, you know. Not that that stuff is not authentic. It can be very authentic and very raw. Some of the, you know, some of the very heavy BDSM things I've done are the most raw that I've ever mm-hmm. portrayed to people, but I just find that I'm leaning more towards like I'm a softie. Like I'm like, when did I like? I just want to cuddle. Like when did this happen? So I think that that's definitely a thing that's evolved over time mm-hmm. as far as sexuality. I'm just not as like pound me, mm-hmm. you know.
What and do you think it's just because you kind of got it out of your system, or just like tastes have changed, or it's or is it more sort of speaking to what you thought maybe you should be like, and now you're learning that it's sort of somewhere in the middle or in the more softer side?
Yeah, I think that I identify as a switch, and that goes into so many different like layers of that too. And it's like, I feel that I'm like that with sex too. Like sometimes I want to be smacked around and spit on mm-hmm. and, you know, like crazy things. And sometimes I just want normal. But I think that that is something that I learned over time, and I think maybe I did just get a little bit out of my system, because beforehand in my personal life, it's not like I was really having that type of sex mm-hmm. beforehand. I mean, you know, I got into the industry when I was, I think, 20. Mm-hmm. And so it's like I don't think I was able to have those experiences, so that when I did have them in a safe environment, I was just like, ooh, more. Hit me harder. Yeah. Like, yeah. you know, and now I'm like, you know, I got it. I kind of got it on my system. I think that would probably be like where I would lean towards. It's like I kind of was able to just like be like, damn, all right, I did all that crazy stuff and I'm proud of all that crazy stuff. And I'd still love to do it sometimes, just not all the time.
So, Cadence, how do you prioritize your sexual health and well-being these days?
I prioritize my sexual health by continuously getting tested and checked. I actually literally made a gynecology appointment this morning before I came to set. I think it's really important because as a performer who's been performing for a long time, you kind of forget that, like, just because we get tested every 2 weeks, like, you should still go get exams, get paps, all that. So I'm like pretty good on that. Like, I do that twice a year, go to an actual gynecologist and have them if there was a problem, but more, but I don't have them because I try to keep up on it, you know. So it's so easy to just be like, oh yeah, I got tested for work, I'm good. But it's like there's other things that, you know, that need to be made sure are good. So I would say that is really important, you know, actually having like a doctor face to face with you and, you know, telling them and being transparent. Like, I'm always like, I do sex work. Like, I have partners, you know, like I'm always transparent about that. I don't like sugarcoat that. I just say it and, you know, go from there, because how are they supposed to know unless you're transparent about that?
Oh, absolutely. And do you, have you found that that's been received positively? Since I know that's something that is always a anxiety barrier for people working in our business, you know, to seek help and support from medical care.
Yeah, I think it's important to, if you have like a friend who has a good gynecologist they recommend, or I personally like to see female gynecologists only, just a personal preference. I've had no weirdness. That's a part, like, I'm lucky, knock on wood. I've had nobody like treat me weird when I say that, as far as that goes. More intrigued than anything. They're like, oh, okay. Like, you know, and they're like, well, okay, we definitely want to do a full exam and full swab. And I'm like, perfect. That's what I want.
That's why I'm here.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. So like, I'm more like intrigued than rather than kind of like a, oh, you know, like, let me jot that down. It's like people are more, at least that's my experience. But I would always recommend if you're go to, like, if I'm a female, I go to a female gynecologist, just because I don't, I feel like I've had experiences with men gynecologists where they try to tell me and I'm like, you don't even, okay, like, yeah, you went to school for this, but you don't have a vagina and you don't know how I feel right now, and you're, you know, you might, they might like talk. I just had a friend who went through this. She was had a male gynecologist, and he was basically telling her that, oh, in my 25 years I've never, you know. And it's like, okay, but you are right now.
Yeah.
And you're you need to like take that into consideration, that maybe you haven't, you know, had in your experience somebody with a certain issue, but you do now. So it's like, I think that's important. I've had more compassion from female gynecologists.
Did you find when you were first getting in the industry as well, because I think a lot of lessons are learned about one's body and how to take care of one's body kind of by being thrown into the deep end and having to learn how to swim. Did you find that you found some good mentors within the industry that helped to sort of give you tips and tricks on, you know, what to bring to set and how to take care of yourself? And, you know, in turn, what advice would you give for newer performers, or, you know, just people in general who want to stay really on top of their sexual health? What advice would you give them? Let's say if you were the sex ed teacher for today, what would be your main subject?
Well, I think that I would, if I was ever a sex ed teacher, I think I would focus on like educating about STI or STD without the stereotype. Because there's so many stereotypes. There's so many, how do you say, like, there's so many like scare tactics almost in stuff like that. And it's really like, it's not that complicated, nor is it that scary. There is scary aspects of sexual health, of course. But I think that it's approached with a lot of like, it's taboo, you know? And it's like, we teach it in a very like certain way where it's like education kind of gets lost in stereotypes. So it's like, I would focus on STIs and STDs in a authentic way, and a, you know, a what happens if you get this and how do you treat it? And instead of just like, don't have sex without a condom because you will die. Like, it's like, you know, just having more of a approachable way about that, it just would be helpful, I
think. Yeah, well, absolutely. And especially since inevitably, you know, people will contract things, you know, both, you know, in the industry and definitely outside of the industry. And when there's no blueprint for what it is, how to treat it, you know, how to protect yourself in the future, then everything it feels like it's, you know, the end of your life. So yeah, very, very good advice. We talked earlier about how one of the lessons that you learned was really the importance of agency and, like, you know, speaking up for yourself and making sure that, you know, you feel comfortable with the work you are doing. So how do you approach the topic of consent nowadays, both as a performer, but even in your own life? Like, what you have learned as a performer influenced how you approach consent privately?
Communication. I mean, so many people, I think, are afraid to talk to their partners about what they like and don't like, mm-hmm. because they don't want to hurt feelings. Mm-hmm. And that's understandable. You don't want to hurt, especially if it's somebody you're in a relationship with. Mm-hmm. Hey, I don't like what you're doing. But it can go a long way. And it can actually get you what you want if you mm-hmm. have these hard conversations and communicate in a fashion that you just might not want to, because you mm-hmm. don't want to have confrontation. And I think that also plays into, like I said, about advocating for yourself in the industry. Like, saying, hey, I don't want to do this. There might be people who are going to treat you like, you know, but then there's people who are going to be over the world happy to mm-hmm. accommodate you in any ways. And that kind of weeds out, okay, well, if you're going to treat me like this because I don't want to do something, or I feel like I could be more comfortable doing it this way, and you're going to treat me a certain way, then okay, I don't want to work with you, or I don't want you in my life. That's every aspect of our lives, right? It could mm-hmm. be like a personal relationship. It's like, hey, I don't like this. And if somebody is like, oh, well, then maybe you should reassess your relationship with said person. So I think just communication and having the hard conversations early on mm-hmm. also, mm-hmm. not waiting until you're like a year in with your relationship and being like, I haven't liked this thing you've been doing for a year. Then it kind of builds room for resentment mm-hmm. and all that. So I think just having communication and the hard, uncomfortable, hey, I don't like this, or hey, I really like it when this happens. Maybe you could do this more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how, like you said, how you can broach it in a way that is positive encouragement versus, mm-hmm. you know, hey, you're doing it wrong.
And do you like this?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Can we talk about this? Not just, you know, like before you're in a sexual act, like, what do you like? Mm-hmm. You know, tell me what you like and I'll mm-hmm. tell you what I like. And it can be hot. Like you get to like, oh, okay, you're into that. Like, you know, it's like it goes so beyond like, can we do this? It's like, do you like this?
Yeah.
You know,
let's talk about it. Let's sort of use it as foreplay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What are your biggest red flags?
Like my biggest red flags, man, there's so many. There's so many red flags. I think just somebody not being able to have conversations mm-hmm. about stuff, people being super defensive immediately has always been kind of, even just in like a friendship way or anything, it's kind of like a red flag for me if I try to like approach somebody about something in a soft way and they meet it with like defense and whatever. I'm like, oh, okay. And you know, that's okay, but as long as like if you like tell them like, hey, you kind of met this with like you were really defensive and whatever, and then they're still that way, then it's like, okay, red flag confirmed. And then just also like just the amount of times where you just like tell somebody like, hey, I'm not into this. And like while you're telling them that, they're like,
yeah,
on their phone or like, yeah, cool, cool. And then you start doing something and you're like, you didn't listen to me mm-hmm. at all. So that's a huge red flag of how somebody actually is taking what you're telling them you like or don't want to do, mm-hmm. how they're reacting to that in the moment too. Cause mm-hmm. it's like, oh, if I'm telling you right now, like, so I don't want you to pull my hair, or I don't want you. And you're like looking over there and talking, you know, you're like, yeah, cool, cool, cool. For sure.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you didn't listen to a single word I said.
No.
And that's a huge red flag. Yeah, those are like the first two that come to my mind. I think there's unfortunately so many red flags.
But interesting how they both have to do with communication, right? Which you cited as being the biggest lesson you've learned in your own sort of sexual life and identity, and also the most important thing. It all makes sense.
I'm really trying this new thing where I communicate like super well with people in my life, because mm-hmm. I think I'm such a yes person. Mm-hmm. I'm a kind of like a people pleaser in ways, just like I'm always, yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm down. And it's like, I'm like, okay, but maybe I should assess that a little bit. And mm-hmm. just, you know, because like really just I've never been great at communicating. And yeah. The older I get, I'm noticing those patterns. So I think I'm like really trying to push that because I think a lot of people don't realize that they're not good at it.
Yeah. Or just take, you know, for granted that communication is easy when it's really probably the hardest thing to do.
Exactly.
But speaking of people pleasing, I want to know what brings you the most pleasure these days in the bedroom?
Ooh, like with a partner?
Yeah. Well, I mean, however you want to answer that.
Partner? Like,
if there's a two-part answer, then go for it.
Yeah, I am, you know, I'm now in a relationship, so I'm, you know, I still work and I still do the scenes that I want to do, but I'm pretty monogamous outside mm-hmm. of work. And so, yeah, we kind of just, you know, we like have you get into these relationships and you have your things, right? Yes. You get kind of comfy and it's like, but it feels good. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a comfort that's like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
It's like you're like, oh, I can like set my bags down and like chill, you know? So I think just having that connection, it has been like really refreshing mm-hmm. for me. Like mm-hmm. like having an actual like feeling with somebody, because I've honestly been single for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I've been kind of just casually dating the last like 5 years. Mm-hmm. So it's like I finally have like a connection.
Yeah.
And that's like nice. And I honestly get off on that.
Yeah.
Like I have to have some sort of connection, whether that even be for momentarily for scene partners or that be in my life. And yeah. I feel like I have that. But yeah, if we're gonna just go to baseline of like actions, like I am a big kisser. Like mm-hmm. I just want to kiss and like get the neck kisses and the ear kisses and I'm like very like caressy mm-hmm. and eye contact mm-hmm. and yeah, so all of that just like riles me up.
Amazing. And so you guys can kind of like schedule your like, hey, Saturday night.
No, we're not there yet.
You're not there yet? Okay, that's
no, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. We still are like, you know, we don't have to have those like, are we going
to? You don't have to book a meeting.
We don't have
to book a sex meeting.
Not yet. But it's like it's comfy, but it's like a good comfy. And not that that isn't either. That works for some people to be like, hey, so we're both gonna be free on
yeah.
this day.
Yeah, 15
like
minutes.
That works and that's cool too. And I'm not saying that's never happened, but we're not like at a scheduling point yet.
It's still somewhat spontaneous
and exciting.
Yeah. what qualities do you find the most sexually attractive?
That is so hard because I think that goes so deep, you know, like sexually, what qualities do I find sexually attractive? Like, as far as like physical, I'm like, again, it goes back to eye contact. I'm super, I like look like people's eyes. Mm-hmm. Something about that is super for me. But there's so many other things, just how I get along with somebody, how I have my first interaction with them, whether it be a scene partner or whatever. Mm-hmm. Is there like a vibe? Are we like, you know, are we like, or is it awkward and isolated, like cut shut down, which granted, I'm like a very understanding person. Again, this mm-hmm. is a job. So when it comes to onset sexualness, it's like, dude, like we're here to work. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be, you know, you don't have to do it. You don't have to interact with me at all if you don't want to.
Right.
But I do look for a little bit of like, oh, would we like each other?
Right.
Exactly. If I met you like randomly, would we get along a little bit? And that, I think that helps for me.
So connection again.
Connection
is the theme of today's conversation.
Apparently, yeah.
So my last question for you, Cadence, today is, you know, for people in general who might be watching this, but certainly for any women out there who may be feeling insecure about their own sexual identities, what advice would you give them?
To just trust the process and the journey, because I think that it is a journey. Like mm-hmm. sexual identity is something that can change at any point in time. I mean, that can you can change who you're attracted to at any point. You can change who you want to be at any point. There's so many layers and so many points in our lives where we evolve to different points of who we are, mm-hmm. whether that be partners or how we want to appear or what we want to identify as. So I would say just like be patient with yourself because that I think that's still changing for me. And I'm almost 32. Like that stuff is just ever evolving. So you just have to like be patient with yourself and be real with yourself. And yeah, trust the process, I guess, would be my advice.
I love it. Well, Cadence, I've known you for many years and we've had many great conversations, but I don't think we've ever quite had a conversation as meaningful to me as the conversation we had today.
Yes, it was great.
So thank you so much for being my very first podcast guest.
Thank you.
I appreciate you breaking the ice and let's keep it real.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Keep it real.
Thank you so much for listening to this conversation with Cadence Lux. To support Cadence, our mission, and this podcast, please make sure to like, comment, and subscribe to our channel. And if you want to learn more about us, we have all of our socials listed in the episode description below. Thank you again. We really appreciate your attention. And until next week, let's keep it real.